Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling great. Been working hard on the podcast. I feel like I put a lot of prep in, and then we just end up, you tell a story about your house and some weird thing, and then we end up discussing, like, now that we're doing two teams per episode, one of the teams is getting serious short shrift every week, and they get maybe 3-4 minutes.
Well, now we're up to teams 18 and 17 today, and we are finally talking about teams like the cutoff. I think we discussed last week on the 49ers episode, the cutoff of teams that sort of expect to make the playoffs is really at this spot right here. Each of these teams we're talking about today, one of them made the playoffs last year. The other one did not, but was a 6-2 before a late season collapse and certainly expects to make the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with number 18, the Carolina Panthers in the NFC South. So the Panthers, again, they had a disappointing collapse of the season last year. Now, obviously, a big part of that had to do with the fact that Cam Newton was injured.
Newton's first half stats and second half stats are make it very clear that he wasn't playing healthy. But there's also no guarantee he'll be healthy again.
Yeah, now another thing, though, you look at the Panthers, and they've done this weird sort of San Francisco Giants-esque every other year thing. In 2012, they were 7-9, okay? Then the next year, an odd year, they went up to 12-4. 2014, an even year, they go down to 7-8-1. You remember they actually won the division that year because the division was such garbage. And then they actually won a playoff game, as you may recall, because they got the benefit in the first round of playing a team with no quarterback. But so they go 7-9 to 12-4, back to 7-9. To 15-1, to 6-10, to 11-5, to 7-9. So every even year they've won 6 or 7 games, and every odd year they've won double digit games.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could win double digit games again.
Yeah. Well, that would be to continue that trend. Now, do you think that there's any explanation for that trend, or is it just sort of a?
It's fluky. There's no explanation at all. The Panthers, along with the Falcons, we haven't discussed yet, are in a weird spot because I do think, whereas a lot of years this division is wide open, and the Bucs are still certainly lagging behind the other three teams, the Saints just appear to be so much better than the middle of this division. So the Panthers, like, you know, if it's the case where the Saints are a bi-level team, then they're really fighting with a million teams in the NFC for 2 wild card spots.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that, you know, we'll get to the Saints later, obviously. I understand the Saints, you know, had a very good season last year and were one very terrible call away from going to the Super Bowl. But I'm not convinced that they're head and shoulders above Carolina and Atlanta. Those are two other teams that, again, have been playoff teams for most of the last few years.
Right. I am convinced. And also the Saints are much younger than both those teams.
Yeah, except that they have a 40-year-old quarterback, and if he goes down...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but you could, literally every team we're going to discuss, if their quarterback goes down, then the backup will not...
Yeah, but there's a reason to expect a 40-year-old to at some point... You know,
I don't know. How about this? Drew Brees versus Cam Newton games played this season. Who would you be taking? It's a good question.
I guess I would take Drew Brees, but I'm not talking about Drew Brees getting injured as much
as
I'm talking
about... You mean declining. Okay. I mean, he's certainly got worse.
And again, as we've discussed
year.
Before, when you look at these all-time quarterbacks, you know, Peyton Manning and Brett Favre, et cetera, it's not that they decline. It's that they go from superstar to complete garbage instantly.
And he definitely got worse at the end of last year.
And unpredictable. Peyton Manning and Brett Favre both had MVP seasons, and the next year were atrocious. Mm-hmm. Now, one of them actually won the Super Bowl that year. But although he got benched for Brock Osweiler. So let's talk about the Panthers. Where do you want to start?
Ron Rivera is still the coach. I do wonder, because as you mentioned, they have a good year and a bad year. I do wonder, like, at what point, if they're just going to be treading water, if ever, do you cut bait on Riverboat Ron? I don't know.
He's had the benefit. The reason that he's never really been on the hot seat, he's been the coach for 8 years now, mm-hmm. is each of his first 3 years, they improved. And then every year since then, it's been down, up, down, up.
Yeah, the way to get fired is have 2 straight bad years.
Yeah, exactly. And he hasn't had the 2 bad years in a row. He has the down year, then he has the up year.
He's coming off a 7-9, so what if they go 7-9, 8-8 again?
Yeah, now I will say, and there's absolutely zero.
He's been the coach for 8 years.
Yeah.
They've made the playoffs 4 times, but one of them was at 7-8-1, so I almost call that a bad season.
Yeah.
They did. They
well,
won
but
a
they
playoff
were 3-8-1 and then won 4 in a row and then won a playoff game.
I know,
so
I know.
You call it a bad season. But
I can't.
But yeah. But then the next year they went 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl. So
a bad year this year would be 3 out of 4. It would be the second in a row. I don't know if he would survive it.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, and this is with absolutely zero inside information, even though, you know, they are a client of ours. But I do think that there tends to be, when you have a new ownership, they tend to want a clean house.
Yeah.
Now, they, you know, again, he came in with an 11-5 team, and so he had no reason to do so. But it, yeah. They went 7-9, definitely a disappointment.
Yeah, because, yeah, other people's quirks get on you, and, yeah, and
I'm
you
just,
know.
I would say, and again, no inside information, this is just my speculation, but I would say that if they have a losing season, Ron Rivera will definitely be fired.
You know who the OC is here, right?
Say that again?
You know who the OC is here, right?
Who the OC, what do you mean? Oh, who their offensive coordinator is?
Yeah.
No, who's their offensive coordinator?
It's Norv.
Oh, yes, of course. And I just watched the whole the Amazon show, so pathetic that I forgot that. Yeah, I really soured on Norv after his performance in Minnesota, including quitting midseason.
Yeah, nobody looks like amazing and horrible like as a coordinator more than him. Like coordinators
talking
usually
looks
greater.
Like amazing and looks like horrible. I have a homework assignment for you right now. Go to Pro Football Reference. Go look at Luke Kuechly's page.
Okay.
All right, you're looking at that picture of him.
I'm gonna be there in a
second.
He's
a good-looking man. His name is Captain America.
Okay. Luke Kuechly entering year 8.
Yeah. Now, I want you to, a fellow Carolina Panther, or one-time, long-time Carolina Panther, Jake DeLome. Now look at Jake DeLome's page.
Jake DeLome.
Yeah. Jake DeLome looks exactly like Luke Kuechly if you, like, uglified Luke Kuechly.
What? But where did this like occur to you? Yeah, so Kuechly, good
because
looking
I happen to be on the Carolina Panthers homepage for Pro Football Reference, and it shows like their top 12 players all time.
Okay, fine.
And so I see them
so
side
does
by side.
DeLome look like he is a, you know what he is? He's who's that guy? Oh,
it's a before and after plastic surgery picture.
Yeah, like Will Forte when he's 60, but of Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, and Luke Kuechly is really good looking. So it's like basically DeLome went into. Is that what happened? Jake DeLome threw all those interceptions. Mm-hmm. So they took him into some kind of plastic surgery. They brought out Luke Kuechly, and then they said, well, he's so good looking, but now he's also so buff, we're going to make him a linebacker.
Jake DeLome, career touchdown passes, go.
I'm going to say 142.
Yeah, it's pretty good. 126.
Okay.
All right, let's run down the Panthers roster, okay? Yeah. After Newton, we have third-year Christian McCaffrey. So mm-hmm. I think third, I would.
Fantasy superstar.
You could look this up, but I do think the third year as a running back is probably the best year of your career. This is your prime, your third year in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say
you think it's second?
Yeah, second.
Okay, second and third probably close.
Yeah, these guys fall off a cliff quickly.
You could just look at the top 25 guys and tell me if they were better, what their best year was.
Okay.
That could be
well, but top 25 guys are guys by definition with longer careers.
True.
So I think what you want to look at is guys, you know, just everybody.
Yeah, maybe look at the
any running back who ever has a 1,000-yard season in his career.
Okay, fine. That's your project for
I will
not
do
tomorrow.
That. I will give you an answer for tomorrow's episode.
But not tomorrow because we spoiler.
Tomorrow's
I mean,
today.
In a few days. We don't know when we record like 4 of these in a day sometimes. Okay, receivers underwhelming if you look at them. Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, and Chris Everyday Hogan. Torrey Smith's here also. But people are they're two high draft picks from the last couple years. People are very high in DJ Moore. People are very high in Curtis Samuel. One of them has to break out, I think. So
yeah.
I don't know
people
who it's
going to
be.
People are assuming it's going to be Moore.
I think Samuel's in his third year, but some people, and he's a second-round pick versus Moore's first-round pick, but I think some people think it's going to be Curtis Samuel. I don't know. Someone's got to, I mean, you know, we could sort of, we're lukewarm on Cam a lot, but they have not given him, you know, consistently good receivers at all in his tenure here. He's had a tight end, but he hasn't really had the receiving core.
Yeah, but then he had a 50 touchdown season without having great receivers.
Okay,
so
Kurt, yeah, no, I have, of course, I you know, this is an argument for Cam being great is that he's done it with almost only below average receivers. So Samuel's first year barely played. Last year played 13 games, only started half. He had 39 for 494 and 5 touchdowns. He also ran for 2 touchdowns, Curtis Samuel. So he's an explosive player, but there's nothing in there that shows me that he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Greg Olsen's still there. I do think he's washed at this point. I think he can't stay on the field, and he's not the same Greg Olsen anymore. Tight ends do play forever.
He's got one
foot
in the Fox booth already.
Yeah, it is true. Gates and Gonzalez, like elite tight ends, generally play forever. Gronk is, you know, Gronk was never going to play forever. Aaron Hernandez was never going to play forever. But like the you know, it is tight ends age better than a lot of positions if you want to be like, just because there aren't 32 good tight ends. So it's easy to go from being like the seventh best tight end to like 22nd and just make five more years out of your career.
Well, but Olsen, he's also 34, so he's not young. I mean,
no, I know, but Gates and Gonzalez played well past 34.
Yeah, but that was a unique. I mean, you're talking about the two greatest tight ends in history.
I mean, but Olsen is probably the third best of this era, right?
His peak was probably better than Jason Witten's, but Jason Witten for sure has had a better career.
Well, Jason Witten's back and he's still playing.
Yeah. Well, he went into the booth and it did not go well, so he went out of the
what
booth.
I don't even know. What is the Monday Night Football booth this year? They kept Booger, right?
What's yeah, but the they, but they took him out of his cam, whatever it's called.
They took it. Yeah, well, that was the only fun part. I mean, it was terrible for announcing,
and it was also terrible for people at the game. Crew? Right.
Yeah. Yes, it blocked a lot. That's probably why they did it.
Brock, yeah. I mean, isn't it just Tessitore and McDonough? I don't know.
That's a terrible crew. If it is, hold on. Let's see.
Yeah, Monday Night Football is not great.
I don't know. I don't think they have it here. Oh, that's the number two is Greece. So Booger, John Perry's the rules analyst. Lisa Salters is play-by-play. I don't know. It doesn't say.
It says Joe Tessitore.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Tessitore sucks.
Not great.
It should be me and you. Do they like dead air? Okay. Yeah. The Panthers.
Do they like getting bombed in the middle of the fourth quarter?
One of their strong. I think they have a very underrated line. They got Matt Paradise, who's consistently been a top five. Six.
By the way, we were talking about greatest tight ends of this era. We also forgot about Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
He's completely fallen off a cliff.
He's washed. Yeah. So that's why would I mention him? He ruins my argument. So Darrell Williams, Greg Van Roten, Matt Paradise, who they just signed from Denver, who teams would have gotten a ridiculous deal, but he broke his leg at the end of last season. But the Jets should have signed him because they had the most money. Trey Turner's, it feels like he's been around forever. And very
that's because you're
young.
So used to him in fantasy baseball with the Nationals.
Yeah, maybe. Well, they spell it differently.
Tria.
R-A-I. Yeah. And Taylor Moten, probably their most underrated guy, right tackle. So it's a very solid line without a lot of holes. I do think, so Cam really stopped running when he got hurt last year. I think because like it didn't work, he's going to try to. But if I was Cam, I would completely stop running.
Well, I mean, you say he stopped running, but he's been pretty consistent. Like he's had, what did he have last year?
He was carrying the ball 9 times a game, which is you know pretty much what he's been doing his whole career. And then it was in the 4s once he got hurt. So
But those games don't. It's not that he stopped running; said he couldn't run.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I think he should stop running now.
Yeah,
like he now that he. His game didn't have a second level when he
was
on
the season. He had 101 attempts, which is basically what he's had for his career.
But he was running like a madman until week 10, and he gets hurt in the week 10 game, and then he stops running the last 7 weeks. So listen, when he was completing 58% of passes, then run because that's a better option. But now that he's a 66% pass completer, just throw the
ball. He's averaged 7.5 rushes per game his whole career, so he was basically at that pace last year.
Let's go to the Panthers defense. You've heard of almost everybody here. They got Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Kawan Short, one of the more underrated players in the league. They got Mario Addison from the Redskins, Shaq Thompson, Luke Kuechly, Bruce Irvin from the Seahawks and the Falcons.
Now, let's talk about McCoy for a second. Normally, when a star goes from one team to another within the division, it's sort of indicative of the fact that he's a little washed.
Uh-huh. Yes. But they had a very weird situation with Tampa, where I think they were going to have to pay him like a crazy amount, and they were, I think, right not to pay him that much. He's an aging defensive tackle, one of the least useful things you could have in football.
I disagree. Defensive tackles, you know, if they're like run stuffing big fat guys. Now McCoy's not as much that. That's more Popo, but you know, guys like that can play forever.
Yeah, but he didn't. He was hurt last year. He didn't really do anything. Yeah. And he's 31 now. 31 is old.
Yeah, but I'm talking, like, the run stuffers, those guys played forever.
I agree. Ted Washington played forever. Kevin Williams played forever.
Haloti Ngata.
Fine. Pat but Williams I just. But yeah, but you don't have to pay them $13 million. They don't provide $13 million worth
of value. Vince Wilfork, Ted Washington.
Yeah.
Henry Thomas, going back to, like, when I was a kid on the Vikings.
So finishing
Kyle
up
Kyle Williams,
there.
Who made the playoffs finally for Buffalo a couple of years ago, he played for a long time.
So Bruce Irvin, who's sort of
your beloved
wonder.
Joe Klecko, how long did he play?
I don't think that long.
Another. Do you remember Jerry Ball on the Vikings?
And yes, also Jerry Ball was a good player.
Great name for a big fat guy.
You know, I've told you I had a Keith Millard action figure growing up, speaking of the Vikings.
Yeah, Keith Millard had like an 18 sack season or something. Like,
I bet that action figure is worth like $200 on. I'm sure my mom threw it out, but I bet it's worth $200.
I don't know what the demand is for those right now.
Well, the old action figures, I think, for whatever reason, worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Eric Reed, Dante Jackson, Trey Boston, James Bradbury. They also have Brian Cox's son, Brian Cox Jr. I didn't know he was.
Does he wear the same weird shoulder pad thing?
I think he might. Yeah.
Oh, what a good
and
way
also,
to honor your father.
And also Kyle Love, who has a second career if football doesn't work.
Yeah.
Out,
now this is a team I'm very interested. You know, not to cut you off, but I'm very interested in doing the schedule game for this team because again, the Panthers could go 11-5, but they could go 7-9. And you know, the difference is that their coach is going to get fired, and you know they could sort of really clean house and sort of cut a lot of veterans. So I think that they have a lot riding on what this team does this year.
All right, so let's do. So now you're asking me, I think.
That's all right, okay. So week one, monster game at home against the LA Rams. Last time we saw the Rams, they mustered a total of 3 points.
Yeah, I know. I do wonder if there's a Super Bowl hangover. I'm going to say the Panthers win this game.
Okay, so that's a big win in week one.
Big win.
And then on short rest, they play Tampa at home.
Yeah, that's a win too.
All right, and then they go to play Arizona and Kyler Murray, who you think is going to have like 20-plus interceptions.
Yeah, no, those touchdowns it said, 22-plus
No, it said
touchdowns.
Interceptions. That's why I was questioning.
Oh, well, I think you might have read it wrong or copied and pasted wrong. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
No, you copied and pasted it wrong.
Yeah. I blame Facebook. Okay. I have them winning at Arizona.
All right, so
the pre-buy schedule is a joke.
Yeah, after that big win in week one, now they're 3-0. They go to Houston in week four.
Loss.
Okay, then they come home. They face Jacksonville.
Win.
All right, so 4-1. They go to England to play Tampa Bay.
I'll say loss.
So they're going to lose in England to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, well, they have to lose one game to Tampa Bay, and the other ones
they do. Okay,
why not?
Listen, everybody knows you can't beat a Jameis Winston in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so even so, 4-2 going into the break. You know, obviously leaves a sour taste in your mouth to lose in London, but 4-2, not bad. They come home off the bye. At San Francisco.
They lose to the Niners.
Wow, so 4-3. So this team is beating the Rams, but losing to Tampa Bay and San
Francisco. I mean, that happens in the NFL.
Yeah, I understand. All right, 4-3. Then they're home against Tennessee.
That's a win.
5-3. At Green Bay.
Loss.
5-4. Home against the Falcons. Huge game.
I mean, these two games, you figure Atlanta and then New Orleans, you know, you just need one of them. But it's hard to predict them winning. I'll say they beat Atlanta, lose to New Orleans.
All right, so they're 6-5. Yeah. They play Washington at home.
Win.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so now they're 7-5 down the stretch. They're but again, last year they were 6-2 and they fell apart. Now Cam was injured. This year, 7-5. Is Cam healthy at this point in December?
Yeah. I mean, misses one game.
All right, so 7-5, they go at Atlanta.
Loss.
All right, so 7-6. Yeah, now they're in trouble. They really have to win out, I think. They play Seattle in week 15.
I'll say win at home.
All right, so they're 8-6. Then they go at Indy.
That's a loss.
8-7. Ooh, and then... week 17 at home against the Saints.
They beat Teddy Bridgewater.
So the Saints have already locked up the one seed?
They've locked up a bye at least, yes.
All right, so the Panthers are 9-7. Does 9-7 make the playoffs?
I mean, you know, that's odds are no. I think 9-7 teams make it a little under 50% of the time, right?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is your prediction for the Carolina Panthers?
I mean, first of all, this prediction is not
a spoiler
valid
alert,
next week when
yes,
we do.
Your predictions are going
to
come next week, but
yeah, but when we do that, I'm not beholden to doing this.
All right. Well, right now, are you saying the Panthers at 9-7 are going to make the playoffs or not?
No, no. I'm going
to. So what you're saying is on December
29,
they beat Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints to go to 9-7, and on December 30th, Ron Rivera gets a pink slip.
No, I don't think 9-7 gets him fired.
Wait,
I said
7-9
gets him fired.
So they miss the playoffs and he keeps his job.
Yes, correct.
All right,
9-7,
because I disagree. There's no chance
he gets fired at
9-7. It's not the 9-7. It's missing the plus. If they
I know, but where that's so results oriented, it's very silly.
Yeah, of course, it's results oriented. That's how that's how it works.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, you don't know the owner. He maybe he's a nice guy.
I know better than you. I don't think if they miss the playoffs for the third year out of four, and the second year in a row with their new. I mean, David Tepper did not buy this team to miss the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, does any team, any owner buy the team to miss the playoffs
than maybe
Davis's?
Well, but he's bought a team that was coming off an 11-5 season that was coming off,
right.
What, 32 wins in the previous
3 years. All
right,
so I agree that they might clean house. Yeah. That's
he bought a
crazy
team that made the playoffs 4 to 5 years, and then they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Well, then he should root for them to lose to Teddy B in that last game, so 8-8's a much more justified.
I mean,
the
Titans fired their coach after going 9-7 2 years in a
row.
Yeah,
no, of course you can. Yeah. And, like, at a certain point, I think your welcome gets worn out. Let's get to the Ravens, because we're already over 16. You know.
We're done with the Panthers. Sorry,
we're
Panthers.
We're done with the Panthers.
All right, on to the Baltimore Ravens.
No shade on the Panthers. These teams are getting demonstrably better. My Panthers, since we last did it, we went from a core 8 to a core 10.
Ah, yes. So you asked me, basically, to do the Vikings core 8. And yes. I gave you 10 names. I said, here's my 8 and here's my 2 honorable mentions, and then you extended it to 10.
No, I had already done half the work.
So, you know, what I said to you, sort of realizing it as I did it for the Vikings, is your core 10 or whatever the hell you want to call it, mm-hmm. each of those guys is a guy who, going into the season, your expectation, your hope, is that they're going to put together a Pro Bowl season.
Well, it's tricky because on the bad teams, your core has – like, if you pick a guy in the first 20 picks in the draft, he has to be in your core 10. Do you know what I mean? Like, that has to be part of your future.
Why?
This isn't the 10 best players. This is your core 10.
Well, but I didn't pick the Vikings. You know, they had a top 20 pick, and I didn't include him.
Well, maybe you didn't understand the message that everyone else did. But also,
no, I think
not
totally
every
team. That's a false narrative because every
but
team is in a
yeah, it's
every
not
team is
relevant.
In a different window of
yeah,
competition.
It's not relevant for the bottom 15
it's
teams.
It's like the
trust
Oklahoma
me.
City Thunder are doing things very differently right now than the,
I agree.
The LA
I agree.
Clippers.
The bad team's second round picks frequently got on the list.
Okay. The Vikings are a team that's playing right now for 2019 and 2020. They're not thinking beyond 2020.
I know, but if they were protecting 10 guys in an expansion draft, they would
if
protect
they were
the first-round pick
guys, they would
ahead
not,
of Linval Joseph.
They would not protect their number one draft pick if they were protecting 10 guys. Well,
really? Well, then they shouldn't have picked them. They shouldn't have made a good pick.
Well,
they're going to protect Everson Griffin over the number one pick? There's no way on earth.
Yeah, okay, fine. You're right. So I guess Griffin wouldn't be. But in terms of who's the most important guy to their team right now.
And he might be. And again, and they also, you know, we'll get to the Vikings in a few
yeah.
days. So
all right,
quickly,
so the Ravens are a team. They made the
well,
playoffs
hold on, the
last year.
I didn't
they had
the
a
core.
Very strange season.
I didn't
though,
do the
but,
core.
Oh, okay, do the core.
Cam, Kuechly, McCaffrey.
Wait, you said we were done with the Panthers.
Yeah, but then I said I forgot the core.
But Keith,
Jackson,
this is a problem with their cores.
Little,
if you're doing your
short,
core within the context yeah. of discussing the team, that's fine.
But
if you're
I forgot about
10
it.
Names, we're done. We don't want to hear the Panthers
Moten,
core.
Paradise, Samuel,
no,
Gerald
McCoy. Nobody's
listening. It's not a great core. It's
not
great.
We're not listening. Okay, Baltimore Ravens, what's their core?
You want to know their core to start?
Yeah, but if you don't bring it up when we're done talking about the team.
Okay.
How about you tell me 8 teams cores a week later like you did the other
The Ravens have one of the worst cores in the league from 2 to 10. If you or
well,
2 to 53.
On. Well then how is this team a playoff team?
Well, it's because they have a lot of good veterans, but my core the core rankings include is about young talent. They have a lot of good older players. Marshall Yanda and Earl Thomas are going to be very good in 2019 and not in the NFL in 2021. Does this make sense to you?
So, okay. But, well, I just think... So Drew Brees would not be in the core then for the Saints?
He is in the core.
Well, you can't have it both ways.
Because 1 year of Drew Brees' impact is much bigger than 3 years of you know...
I think you got to think through your core.
No, this makes sense. You're just so... 1-0 that you don't understand.
Why don't the listeners
this makes
chime
sense
in and tell us what they think about it?
Okay. So Lamar Jackson, the
I
left
tackle.
I want
to hear from Tim Westine in particular.
Who cares? The left tackle, Ronnie Staley. The cornerback, Marlon Humphrey. Defensive lineman, Michael Pierce. Marshall Yanda, Earl Thomas. Again, two of the oldest guys on any team's list. And as a team like this that doesn't have a lot of talent, their first round pick, in this case, wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown, has to be there. Orlando Brown Jr. Did you realize Orlando Brown's son is a good player?
I didn't realize it was the same Orlando Brown.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I assume it is. I mean, there's an actor Orlando Brown that could be his son, and then Brandon Williams and Matt Skura, two linemen. So it's not a great core at all. It's actually one of the worst. But Lamar Jackson can elevate them. You know,
but
something.
You would not say is a top 10 quarterback right now.
No, he's definitely not.
So if this team is a terrible core and a non-elite quarterback, then why are they a playoff team?
They're not a playoff team. This team is definitely going to miss the playoffs.
Definitely.
Unless Lamar Jackson is a top 5 QB, this team will miss the playoffs. I guarantee it.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Where did you have them in your ranking?
Probably 32nd. I don't know. Don't check.
Because they're 17th overall. Now, we got some hate from some Ravens fans because mm-hmm. they said that we were too low on the Ravens last year.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You just guarantee they're going to miss the playoffs this year.
Oh, listener Corrine said that you know, we bashed them and then they won their division.
Yeah.
But this team I think maybe got worse.
Yeah, I mean that's a hot take. I think
where we rank Lamar Jackson yesterday on quarterback.
I think this is a 10-6 team, so I'm a
okay.
little bit surprised to hear
the
this.
Wide receiver group. Yes, they have a first round pick, so maybe he becomes a star, Marquise Brown. Maybe, but It's probably not going to be this year. Willie Snead, Seth Roberts, Chris Moore. The two worst receiving groups in the NFL might be in the Beltway area, because it could be the Ravens and the Redskins. The running back situation.
By the way, you were higher on Lamar Jackson than I was yesterday. I had him 20. You had him 16.
Yeah. No, I like Lamar Jackson. The running back situation is okay, I guess. Mark Ingram, he actually didn't put him in my core because, again, old running backs. You said a good team can't have a non-elite running back in there.
No, I said any running back, let alone a 30-year-old free agent.
You think Zeke isn't in the Cowboys' core? You think Saquon Barkley isn't in the Giants' core?
Well, Saquon Barkley is the entirety of the Giants' core. Yeah, that's why the Giants are a terrible team.
Yeah, fair. So Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, and Kenny Dixon. They have a couple tight ends. They have a few tight ends that they're semi-excited about. Boyle, Andrews, and Hurst. Hurst was a first-round draft pick last year. Don't know what's happening with him. I like the offensive line. Stanley Scourie, Yonda Brown. Listen, there's not a lot of skill position talent, though. So Lamar Jackson running 18 times a game will work for them as long as he stays healthy. Over under 14.5 games played, Lamar Jackson. What are you taking?
I mean, I'm not going to root for the under. I guess I'll take.
Well, no, you don't have to. We're not betting $1 million. You don't have to root for it. You're making a prediction.
I would say over, but also you said 18 carries a game. That's 288 carries. There is no chance he has 200 carries, let alone 288.
Well, I didn't literally mean 18. I mean some games he runs the ball. 18
How many
times.
Rushing attempts do you expect for Lamar Jackson this year?
How many did he have last year? Give me the number.
Last year he had 147, and he only played like half a season.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like dangerous.
Yeah, I would take the under of 200.
I'll say 11 a game.
11 a game. Well, so that's not that much.
Not that much.
That's 176 on the season. That's reasonable.
Okay. Let me give you some names, okay?
Yeah.
CJ Mosley. You're going to hear. CJ, just listen. CJ Mosley.
Yeah.
Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
Brent Urban. Eric Weddle. Za'Darius Smith. Those are five above-average defenders that were on the Ravens last year that are not on the Ravens this year.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of old guys.
No, Suggs is old, but Weddle's old.
Let's go back to Lamar Jackson. So you said that Lamar Jackson will average 11 rushes a game this year, right?
Yes.
He never had fewer than that last year. Can I give you his game log of rushing attempts per game last year?
Mm-hmm.
26, 11, 17, 14, 18, 13, 20. And then the playoff game, he had only 9, but the playoff game was a disaster, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 3 fumbles. So, and also, by the way, in those games, he had 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He had 15 fumbles in 7 games. So that's a problem.
Yeah. But again, they won a lot of those games. They had 7 double digit wins last year.
They won every single one of those games except a close game at Kansas City.
And then
the playoff game. Yeah.
But those were both competitive games.
That's how they made the playoffs.
They did lose a couple games by a lot, but early, the Cincinnati game and the
So their young quarterback, 6-1 in the regular season as a starter in his career, and you say there's no chance he makes the playoffs.
I think the 2-53 here is really abysmal. But, I mean, it's old, so it's more abysmal long-term than – so they didn't draft anybody.
I think you need to play the schedule game again, because I think this is a 10-6 type team, but you think there's, quote, no chance they make the playoffs. So
hold on. So I mentioned those guys. They added Earl Thomas, Jimmy Smith, Purnell, McPhee, Brandon Williams.
Yeah.
More old guys.
They're swapping
in
veterans.
Old guys,
yeah, veterans
but
for veterans.
Much worse guys.
Yes.
This is not a team with a ton of stars. I guess the best defender is probably Michael Pierce, Marlon Humphrey, I guess. This is not a team with a ton of stars. It's an incredibly old team also. I don't know if that makes them more or less susceptible to injury. They're guys who have proven they could stay healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Now this team, just so you remember, last year was number one in the NFL in defense in yards allowed, number two in points allowed.
Yeah. And,
so
and now
they were
it's
a good
different
defense. They were an incredible defense.
First, okay. It's a different defense. And for one, defense is much less predictable than offense from year to year. And two, it's different players. So why would – just because it's a Raven shield, that means that every year –
No, it's because it's
defense.
Harbaugh. And because Harbaugh's had – I mean, he's had a top 10 defense.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be bad. I just don't think it has to be elite for them to win this division.
By the way –
because guess what? The Steelers have much better players than the Ravens, and the Browns have much better players than the Ravens.
The only year in the Jim Harbaugh era that they did not have a top 10 defense was the year that they won the Super Bowl, for whatever that's worth.
They have the third best roster in the division. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
So if Lamar Jackson outplays Baker Mayfield and Ben Roethlisberger, sure, they're going to win the division.
The Browns slurping is out of control, I think.
No, I think the Browns are underrated.
It is impossible to say that the Browns are underrated. You could say that you think the Browns could win
the Super
Bowl.
Well, they're not the Super Bowl favorite, so then they're underrated.
So they are the Super Bowl favorite.
No, I'm just saying it is possible. You said it's impossible.
If you literally think they should be favored to win the Super Bowl, yes, then I guess they're underrated. But then you're an insane person.
They have a chance. Their ceiling is winning the Super Bowl.
Well, every team's ceiling is winning the Super Bowl because that's the ceiling.
No. The Giants are not winning the Super Bowl this year. The Dolphins aren't winning the Super Bowl.
The Giants have won the Super Bowl with shitty teams before.
That's true. With worse teams than what they have now. Yes. That's probably true.
Yeah, well, worse offenses, but not worse teams.
But, by the way, it's true. They have a lot of good players, the Giants.
The Giants' offense now is probably better than the offense that won the Super Bowl, yeah.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because Saquon is a dynamic player.
I guess.
Let's do
the Ravens schedule game. I don't hate the Ravens. I just think this is an 8-8
team. All right, we better hurry up here because we're going to run out of time soon. So very quickly, win and loss. At Miami?
I'm supposed to ask you, I think.
No, I'm asking you because you're the one with the hot take.
Okay, fine. At Miami, win.
At home against Arizona?
Home, win.
At Kansas City?
Loss.
Home against Cleveland?
Loss.
Wow. At Pittsburgh?
Loss.
At home against Cincy?
Win.
And at Seattle.
Loss.
All right, so I think they're going to go 5-2 before the break. 4-3 at the worst. Even 3-4, so maybe that's why you have them out of the playoffs.
I'm going to flip the
No,
Pittsburgh.
There's no flipping. They're 3-4 at home against
New England. I'm saying I'm going to flip when they go to at home against Cleveland and have them win. They always play the Patriots tough. I'm going to say win.
All right, 4-4 at Cincy.
Win.
Home against Houston.
Loss.
All right, 5-5 at the Rams.
Loss.
Home against San Francisco.
Win.
6-6 at Buffalo.
Win.
Jets.
Win.
Browns.
I said I'd flip it, so I'm gonna have to flip it.
All right, that's 9-6, and then at home against Pittsburgh Steelers. For a playoff spot.
I'll say loss. They lose and go to 9-7.
All right, so they go 9-7. They're swept by Pittsburgh. So you've predicted both teams we have today to go 9-7 and miss the playoffs.